who teach us about children and about their spiritual life and how we can care for them most properly as church members, as Vacation Bible School workers, as parents and grandparents. Help us, Lord, to see that our faith that you've planted within us, Lord, is passed on to the next generations. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be the kind of people that nurture true, biblical, solid, grounded faith. For it's in your blessed name that we ask. Amen. I'm curious today, how many of you ever attended Vacation Bible School when you were a child? Could you raise your hand? They didn't invent Vacation Bible School when you were raised, did they, Gary? It was too far back, all right? Second question would be, I wonder if there's anybody here today who is actually converted. You gave your life to Jesus Christ at a Vacation Bible School. Would you raise your hand? All right. Has anybody ever been in Bible school and you've seen someone, some child, some teenager, somebody give their life to Jesus? Would you raise your hand? I think that's the case for most of us. So what we're thinking about when we're having a workers' day today, and what we ought to be reflecting on, you got a prayer calendar, I think, last week in your bulletin. Tammy wants us to think about, to reflect on, and actually to ask the Father to do something powerful in our midst. You can't see conversion, you can't see true biblical salvation just because you have a worker, a teacher, a leader in every classroom, and you have some nice decorations and nice music. That's not how salvation happens. So it's always a miracle, and we're going to see that today, and so therefore, we need to ask the Father, we need to pray to the Father. Jesus, everywhere in his ministry, teaches his disciples that, so much so, he modeled prayer and he taught his disciples to pray, that they even came to him and said, Lord, teach us this. Teach us to pray, and we've seen that before when we've studied the Lord's Prayer. So I just have some reflections today. Nothing that I say today is going to be particularly stupendous or original, I don't think, but hopefully it can remind us as we are parents and grandparents of children that will be at Vacation Bible School. Hopefully it will remind us as workers in Vacation Bible School what true biblical salvation is and how that impacts the life of the next generation. First thing I want to remind you of is that children do not have to become like adults to be saved. Jesus tells us that in this passage. Actually, it's the opposite. Adults have to become more like children in order to be saved. When Jesus made this point here in Mark's gospel, which is also reflected in the two of the other three gospels as well, he wasn't referring to spiritual innocence. The reason that children can get to heaven is not because they're born innocent. We've talked about this before. Children are actually born in sin. That's why they need salvation. That's why we have Sunday school for them. That's why we have Vacation Bible School for them. It's not that they're automatically going to heaven because they were born on this planet. No, they inherit a sin nature. They get that from you, and they get that from me. So we pray for their spiritual eyes to be open. We pray for their hearts to be awakened to spiritual things. But in that, it's not because they're innocent, it's because they're guilty. Jesus does, however, reflect some attitudes that children have that all of us need to model in our spiritual life. That's healthy for us as we work with children, as we pray for children, to see their humility, to see their dependence, to see their deference. And when we see that in a child's life, to say, God, make me more like that. That's what I need if I'm going to be a citizen of your kingdom, is to have a childlike, humble heart, to have a childlike, dependent heart, virtues which are common in children, and they're essential for anyone who would follow after Jesus Christ. The second thing to remind especially parents of, but we need that reminder as grandparents as well, is to remember that the primary spiritual responsibility for the spiritual health and formation, for the salvation of that child, doesn't lie with Esther Baptist Church. It lies with the home. It lies with those parents and grandparents as they nurture and as they raise that child. We'll do all we can as pastors, as associate pastors, as youth workers, as children's workers, as Vacation Bible School workers, to nurture them, to point them to Jesus all we can. But we don't have that primary responsibility. It's in the home. It's with the parent and with the grandparents. So be faithful to teach them the word. Be faithful to shape their hearts. Be faithful to model the gospel. That's what God asks of each of us if we're to pass that faith along to the next generation. Third, and perhaps this is the heart of what this message is all about, we need to reflect and remember what true conversion really is. It's not a decision. If we wanted to, we could easily manipulate nearly every child that comes to Bible school. Just have a decision day. Just have them all bow their heads. Just have them all raise their hands or walk the aisle. It would be very easy to manipulate the tender hearts of these children that God brings to us. But we're not looking for decisions. We're looking for disciples. And there's all the difference in the world. One is easy to manipulate and to manufacture. The second is heaven sent. The second is a miracle. That's what conversion is. God's the only one who can bring a miracle. He's the only one who can bring true conversion. Conversion's more than just intellectual. It's more than just learning bare facts. We're looking for more than just a child to nod their head and say, yes, I believe that. Yes, I've heard that. Yes, I understand that. We're looking for their hearts to be changed. We're looking for their affections to be won over. We're looking for their lives to be transformed by the grace of God. So we need to have an ear when they ask the right kinds of questions, when God begins to do something in their lives that turns them from their base sort of selfish self, gets them to start asking questions about the kingdom, start asking questions about God, start turning their hearts and their affections towards the things of God, like confession and repentance and faith and submission to Jesus as Lord. When God starts doing that in their life, then you know that God's up to something. You know that you can be a part in this incredible drama that God's playing in their lives, leading them towards salvation, we pray. And that's what we need to have in our hearts and our minds when we work in Bible school, when we pray for Bible school, is that this true, biblical, repentant faith could come about in their hearts and their lives. Not just to pray a prayer, not just to repeat facts after us, but to have a true heart change, a miracle of conversion in their hearts by Almighty God. How does that come about? Well, one way that comes about is when they hear it and they reflect on it in their everyday lives. So fourth, I would urge all parents and grandparents to share their testimony with their children and their grandchildren. Don't be bashful about that. Share what Jesus actually did. And more than the fact that you just prayed a prayer, more than the fact that you made a decision to follow Jesus, how your life has been transformed by Him since then. What difference does Jesus make in your life today? That's what children need to hear about. And most importantly, they need to hear it from their parents and from their grandparents. Show Jesus and talk about Jesus to your children about how much He means to you, how His Word changes you, how you love His people and His worship, how He changed your life, how and when you became a follower after Christ, a true born-again Christian. Sharing your testimony with your children and your grandchildren provides a real and natural context to discuss what God's doing in their lives as well. They'll be more comfortable to talk about what's happening in their heart since they've heard it from you first. Since it's more than just going to church, it's a real and a genuine relationship with Jesus that you have, that you're sharing with your children and your grandchildren. The fifth one, I'll make you mad on this one, but it's necessary anyway. Not only should you share about your relationship and your testimony with your children, but you should share the gospel in front of your children. In other words, you should talk to other people about Jesus in the presence of your kids. I know Baptists don't believe that anymore, but it's my responsibility to tell you that anyway. That it's our job to tell the nations about Jesus. It's our job to share Jesus with our work associates, with our friends, with our neighbors. Did you know that that's different than inviting them to church? Lots of Baptists will, you know, get up their courage and they'll say, oh, so would you come to church? Now, I'm all for people coming to church. I mean, I wouldn't have much of a job if everybody stopped that. So I'm for people coming to church. But
inviting them to come to church is different than inviting them to come to Jesus. Sharing what Jesus means to you. Sharing the gospel, facts, with other people. So do that in front of your children. Do that in front of your grandchildren. Guess what? They'll be that much more likely to discuss spiritual things and have an openness, passionate openness, to discuss the gospel with you. The next thing, provide real and natural contexts for spiritual conversation. Now, I know that it's your job and it's your desire to make sure that your child or your grandchild follows the same sports team as you. I mean, I know that's really, really important. But in addition to talking to them about your favorite baseball team, in addition to talking to them about your favorite football team or your favorite golfer or your favorite NASCAR racer, whatever it is, how about this? This is a shocking idea. How about share with them the most important thing in your life, which is Jesus Christ. Have everyday conversations with them when you go to the store, when you see them at the ballpark, when you go to their game. Talk to them about what a difference Jesus makes in your life, and make that not just a Sunday morning affair. Make that not just a conversation you have in the church house. The more that Jesus is central in your conversations, I'm not talking about making it fake, making it artificial. Oh, it's my responsibility, so I better do this. I'm talking about if Jesus really is the most important thing in your life, if you love Jesus more than life itself, then make it a natural thing to talk about Him and the things of God with your children and your grandchildren. The next thing all of us need to be reminded of is, in the words of W.A. Criswell, the longtime pastor at First Baptist Dallas, encourage your children, encourage your grandchildren to take baby steps towards Jesus. Not every time that a child asks a question, not every time that a child begins to speak about baptism, is it necessarily evidence that they're saved. It's not necessarily evidence that they're ready to give their life over to Jesus Christ as Lord. But we don't discourage it. We don't say, oh, now you're not old enough to talk about that. Oh, we don't think you understand enough in order to discuss that. That's not what we should ever do. As pastors, as VBS workers, as parents and grandparents, encourage them, help them, but be careful in how we do so. I always encourage parents and grandparents to talk to their children about spiritual things, about salvation, the same way that you speak to your children and grandchildren about sex. And that is, answer the question that they ask honestly at their level. In other words, don't spoon-feed them all the answers, and don't give them answers to questions they're not asking. You wouldn't talk to your 6-year-old the same way you do a 16-year-old about sexual matters. Well, guess what? You wouldn't talk to a 6-year-old, or you shouldn't, the same way concerning spiritual things as you do a 16-year-old. So be sensitive to the Spirit, yes. Talk to them about the things of God, yes. But don't hook up the fire hose to their mouth. Mothers especially are so prone to this. They're so concerned about the spiritual life and really about the eternity of their children that the very first time that Johnny or the very first time that Susie makes a comment about seeing someone baptized, makes a comment about the Lord's Supper, guess what? They want to make sure that day that that child prays to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. And too often, whether they have an understanding of that or not, whether they were actually making steps towards that or not. So what I'm suggesting here is that we encourage them in the understanding that they have at that moment. Don't make it artificial. Don't make it fake. Don't encourage them to make a false decision. But encourage them in their baby step towards Jesus. When your children express interest in following Christ, yes, even if they're young, encourage that. Back them up in that. Support them in that. But we can affirm them even when they make small steps towards understanding. Baby steps towards understanding more. It's not salvation yet, but they're accepting more about the plan of salvation. They're accepting more about Jesus at the cross. They're understanding a little bit more about what it means to be a sinner in the eyes of a holy God. And so we accept that and we affirm that and we encourage that. Ninth, now this sort of seems self-serving, but
I'm going to suggest it anyway, it's a spiritual benefit for you and for me as children of God as we try to pass the faith along to the next generation. Ninth is, talk to the pastor. As you begin to see questions being asked in your child's life, in your grandchild's life, assume nothing. Help to encourage them, and one way to do that is to try to encourage a relationship with the spiritual leaders in their lives, with the deacons God's given you, with the pastor that God gives you. And so they can help answer questions. They can help nurture your child's faith. And therefore, there'll be less distance when it comes time to make a public decision. There'll be less barriers and less misunderstanding and less fear factor if you help develop that relationship with your child and your pastor, with your child and your deacons, when it comes time for them actually to make a public commitment of their life with Christ. So partner with the workers God gives in His church in your child and grandchild's life. And tenth, if I haven't made you mad as a Baptist already, I probably will on this one. Be very quick with the gospel, but be slow with the baptistry. In a child's life, be very quick with the gospel. Always be ready to share the truths about Jesus, His perfect life, His sacrificial death, His resurrection power that's available unto every heart. But be very slow in trying to very quickly make sure that that child follows the Lord in baptistry, in the baptistry. Why? Because we don't want them to have to go through what so many teenagers and so many young people do in their lives. When they reflect back 10 years later, they reflect back 8 years later, after they made a decision in Bible school, after they followed the Lord in baptism because that was the proper and the right thing to do, they were told, they figure out and they go through much confusion about whether they really were converted because they see all the sin they went through, they see all the confusion they went through, and many times they make a genuine and a real conversion to Jesus Christ as an older teenager or a young adult, and they're all sorts of confused. Because they've done everything the church has said to do when they were 7 or when they were 8, because they were told that's the proper and that's the genuine and that's the real thing to do in order to be sure you're following after God. I baptize children every year. I'm encouraged by that. I think that testifies to the grace of God that's available to everybody. I'm not suggesting anything else. What I am suggesting, however, is just because a child, especially a young child, makes a decision and tells their parents, tells their pastor that they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord, probably that first Sunday after that shouldn't be the Sunday to baptize that child. We need to depend upon the grace of God to manifest itself in that child's life to be sure and to be confident that Jesus Christ really is their Lord, that He really is their Master, that He really is their King, and therefore there's a change that's come about in their lives. Paul said, whoever is in Jesus Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The danger is, if a child just sort of wants to please parents or wants to please other adults in their lives, so they hear the facts of the gospel and they give a mental assent to that. They say an inward yes to what they've heard, but no true heart change has come about. No conviction of sin has come about. Too often it happens that they go through some external outward manifestation of accepting Christ as Lord, but no true heart change comes about. We need to see things change in their lives. We need to see whether that conversion really did happen in their lives. As best as possible, as we're given, as parents and grandparents and spiritual leaders in their lives, to encourage them towards real and genuine conversion and not just mental gymnastics. I can resonate with the Apostle John's assessment, who said, I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in truth. That's what we desire for these children. That's what we desire for every child that God sends our way in Vacation Bible School, is that the end result will be not just a decision, but a changed, transformed life by the power of the gospel that'll last for all their lives, that'll truly change them from the inside out. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved brothers,
be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. If you're a Vacation Bible School worker this year, if you're a Sunday school leader that helps, even if you're a person who helps in the nursery once every 3 months, then the following suggestions, I pray, will be helpful to you as we try to apply this scripture passage to our hearts and lives as a church. First, this idea that our labor is not in vain. Sometimes it feels frustrating. Sometimes it'll make us pull our hair out to see whether we can get, you know, these 8 or 10 children just to listen to the lesson, just to pay attention and quit poking one another and doing other things during our Sunday school lesson or during our Vacation Bible School time with them. It can feel like it's frustrating to the nth degree and it's worthless, that it's a dead-end street. But Paul tells us, know this, that in the work of the Lord, nothing you ever do for Christ goes unrewarded. Nothing you ever do for Christ is worthless or hopeless. No, what we do for Christ, planting gospel seeds, always bears fruit in God's time and in God's way. So he says, to know that your labor is not in vain if it's in the Lord, trusting in His sovereign goodness, being confident that He loves the children around us. He loves the children in our nursery. He loves the children in our VBS. He loves the children in your home more than you do. So however much you want and however much you desire for the salvation, God desires that much more. We believe that He alone has the power to bring about new life. So that's what we pray for. That's what we commit to. Knowing that we're called to be faithful, to sow seeds, to be faithful to water those seeds in gospel timing, faithfully teaching and explaining the truths of the gospel, not trying to manipulate, not trying to set a child in a context that they can't understand, that's beyond their abilities, while we depend upon God to give the growth. We depend upon God to give the new life. Teaching from a heart that is filled with joy in Christ, prepared to always share the hope that is within us, as parents, as grandparents, praying for their lives to be truly changed and transformed by the gospel itself. That's what we hope for. That's how our labor is not in vain. Always mindful that everything we say, everything we do, and every decision we make as a parent, as a grandparent, as a VBS worker, it matters because our life matters to reflect the greatness and the worth of God, His majestic holiness. Will any of us reflect perfectly the nature and the image of Jesus? Obviously not. But we depend upon His grace. That's what the Lord's Supper is about today. We come to Him as broken people. We come to Him as needy people, and we ask for His grace and His fullness to fill us. So labor hard in the Lord as a parent. Labor hard in the Lord as a VBS worker. Labor hard in the Lord as a grandparent, and don't give up. In the Lord, God can use our limited abilities. God can use our limited understanding. God can use our limited gifts. And in the future, I believe many times on this earth, but certainly in heaven, we'll be amazed to see the grace and the harvest of God that He was pleased to bring about in the hearts and lives of young people, in the hearts and lives of children, through our Vacation Bible School, through our nursery, through our Sunday school classes. He is still a miracle-working God. He's still in the saving business. And all we want to do is make it easy as possible. We want to make it as true as possible for children to hear the gospel truth, for children to be changed by the gospel power. Often children will demonstrate some curiosity or even a desire to trust in Jesus, but they lack a basic understanding of what the gospel is. Many children are drawn to the loving nature of Jesus, and that's wonderful, but they fail to recognize their own sin. They don't have a concept as to why Jesus went to the cross to pay a penalty for their transgressions and for their sins and for their need of repentance. It's a good thing to be drawn to the loving nature of Jesus. That's what we want to teach. It's what we want to model every single day of our lives. But Jesus' love also serves to expose our sin and our need for a Savior. Jesus is not just a loving figure.
He's also the righteous Son of God, who alone has the power to forgive our sins and to rescue us from God's just condemnation. Therefore, we need to be discerning. When a child asks questions concerning salvation or expresses a baby faith towards Jesus, if that child seems to show a sincere and a tender heart towards trusting in Christ, it's always helpful to review the basics of the gospel. Do they understand what sin is? Do they understand what the cross is? That it was their sin that placed Jesus on the cross. It was their sin that drove nails in His hands and in His feet. Further, we should be always careful. And again, I'm talking to Baptists, so I know us a little bit after 30 years or so of serving as one of the pastors, one of the leaders in the church. We need to always be careful as parents and grandparents, and especially as Vacation Bible School workers, to use biblical language when we discuss the gospel. Does the Bible use this language to describe conversion? Does the Bible use this language to describe this decision to follow after Christ? So taking a 5 or 6 or even an 8-year-old child, sitting them down and saying, wouldn't you like to ask Jesus in your heart? You might have been trained that way. You might have actually had that happen in your life. But that doesn't mean it's in the Bible. So we need to use biblical language to describe conversion. We must not distort the gospel's clear language to help children to trust, rely upon Christ for salvation, to know what true biblical salvation looks like and sounds like for Jesus Christ to save them. Second, to recognize as Vacation Bible School workers what our role is. We've already hinted at this talking to parents. But we need to recognize what our role is as teachers and leaders in God's church. We're there to support parents. We're there to support grandparents and assist them as they raise those children who assume the primary responsibility of nurturing their child's faith. That's not first and foremost our job. So try to involve the parents as much as possible. Try to help them to understand their spiritual questions that their child has and see if they might not have the grace and the ability to answer that question themselves. It's not that we wouldn't want to lead a child to Christ. Of course we would. But we want to have that privilege to be the parents, if at all possible, if they were followers of Jesus Christ as well. And then for all of us, whether we work in Bible school, whether we work in the nursery, or whether we just come to this church and this is where God feeds us and God nurtures us, for all of us as parents, all of us as grandparents, as I think about Vacation Bible School, what's our drastic need? What's the top thing that we need? It's not more decorations. It's not fancier music. It's not t-shirts. The top thing we need in our Vacation Bible School this year is to remain in fervent prayer and trust in God's sovereign power. There's no other way that salvation ever happens apart from people pleading to God, apart from God sending His Holy Spirit in power and in genuine truth. Yes, we have a responsibility to share the gospel and to challenge our children to respond to it in faith. But ultimately, the salvation of children in our classrooms, at VBS, or in Sunday school depends upon God. He alone is able to bring about regeneration. He alone is able to bring about saving faith. Therefore, in our desire for saving faith to become about, we must not intentionally or even unintentionally be manipulative in our manner or try to bring about something apart from the work of God's Holy Spirit. Jesus said, didn't He? Apart from Me, you can do nothing. Following a lesson plan and having our classrooms, you know, neat and tidy and decorated and everybody have on a matching t-shirt, that does not bring about genuine conversion. Only the power of God, in response to the prayer of the people of God, can ever bring about true biblical salvation. Therefore, we must pray to God to act in the hearts of these children and then trust in His good and sovereign grace. Children can memorize and repeat what they've heard their parents and teachers say, but that doesn't necessarily mean they understand it at all. Neither does it mean that they are personally committed to those truths. So resist the urge to give them the answers.
Resist the urge to spoon feed them what you think the preacher or someone else would say that they need to hear. So the question is, can a child explain in their own words the basics of becoming a Christian? And when they explain how to become a Christian, does the child use good works answers, such as going to church or reading the Bible or getting baptized or praying or being good? Those are baby steps towards Jesus, but they don't express a genuine understanding of true salvation from God. Does their answer mention his need of forgiveness? In the child's heart and life, do they express an affection for Jesus, a strong desire to be drawn close to him as their saving heavenly Father? Do they show a passion to follow after Jesus, or just a basic knowledge of facts about him? In their lives, do they demonstrate a personal need or desire to repent of their sins, to give up the things that have offended their parents and offended the society around them by their wrong actions, by their sinful actions? Even a child can come to an understanding of sin if God's at work in their heart and in their life. Are they ashamed of that sin in their life? Knowing what sin is actually not the same thing as being ashamed of their sin. If a child is not repentant, but they go through with some external act and make a decision to become a Christian, then that decision can be premature and incomplete. So parents and grandparents, be wise enough not to speak assurances about eternal security to your child's soul based on shallow or false grounds. Love your child enough to not be a misleading messenger to them. Point them always to Jesus. Point them to the cross and pray for their soul. Pray for their decision to be real when they make it, to trust Christ and not themselves, to trust in His saving work and not just a decision. A child might be the least equipped to know and understand his own heart in this crucial matter, so don't help him fool himself. Point them to Christ, His power, His grace, and His transformation. That's always a miracle. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you that you open the windows of heaven by your death on the cross for each of us. Help us share with our children. Help us share with our grandchildren. Help us share with those children you send us at Vacation Bible School the truth of your cross and the truth of the forgiveness that comes by your grace. Lord, I pray that today would be the start, not the end, but I pray that today would be the start of a time of reflection and renewal in our hearts, of commitment towards prayer in the lives of all of your people as we think about this glorious gift you've given to us, a Vacation Bible School, a time to proclaim the gospel to children who will never see it any other time throughout the year, a time to point towards the love, the grace, and the mercy of Jesus. Help us as a church, Lord, to trust you. Help us to depend completely upon you. For it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen. What would it look like for God's people to cry out to the throne of heaven? What would it look like for God's people to say nothing's more important than salvation? And it's always a miracle. God, would you bring that miracle in the lives of young people? Would you bring that miracle in the lives of the children that you send us? It won't be accomplished just because we gather on a certain night. It won't be accomplished just because we all make up our minds to do it. It'll only happen if it's sent by the Spirit of God, not by our power, not by our might, but only by the power of God. I pray that God might fill our altar with people who are crying out to God for the salvation of their children, of their grandchildren, of all the children that God sends us this year. What would that look like this morning in our hearts and lives, while we stand together, while we sing?